book of Luke, chapter 17. We've been looking at the healing miracles of Christ, which I believe all of them are a picture of salvation. They also picture the ability of God to meet the needs in our own lives and to work miracles in our own lives. Last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the healing of a particular leper, and we want to now look at the healing of 10 lepers at one time. And you will notice that he does not heal these 10 in the same way that he healed the one, though I believe the healing results were the same. He did not use the same methods, and we have to, the lesson there is we have to beware of putting God in a box and putting restrictions upon the Lord. In Luke 17, and Luke's the only one who records this particular miracle, and we'll begin reading with verse 11 through verse 19. It came to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off. And they lifted up their voices, because they were afar off, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They lifted up their voices in unison. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. It came to pass as they went, that is, as they were on their way to the priests, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger or this Samaritan. And he said unto him, this particular Samaritan, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. We see in verse 11 that Jesus went to Jerusalem, or as he was on his way to Jerusalem. And this would, of course, been for the purpose of laying down his life in the place instead of his people, to finish the work that God had given him to do. As he's on his way to Jerusalem, he passes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and we read he entered into a certain village. Now, when you enter into a village or city, you are, as you enter, you are on the outskirts of that town. You don't enter the middle of town. You're on the outskirts as you enter the town. That would have been so in Christ's day. And the reason that these 10 lepers were on the outskirts, of course, is because they were exiled, as lepers were. They were exiled because of their disease. So these lepers are on the outskirts of this town, and we see that they stood afar off. And again, that all goes back to the book of Leviticus, where there was a law of exclusion for lepers. That was for spiritual reasons, to teach us spiritual lessons, but it was also for medical reasons, to keep a disease from spreading throughout a region, they were excluded. So really the reason was twofold. So we have these 10 lepers, and as lepers did, they suffered greatly, and we see that they were experiencing loneliness. They're outside of town. They've been exiled from their family. They've been exiled from their friends. And no doubt they had heard of Jesus Christ. Perhaps they had heard how he healed the other leper. They had heard how that Jesus Christ had healed many. And as they see him coming, perhaps they heard that he was coming. But they see him coming and they recognized him as Christ. And we see that they lifted up their voices. They did so believing that he could heal them, believing that he had the ability to heal them. There's no need to make a request of someone if you do not believe that they have the means and the ability to meet your need. You're only going to request help from those you believe can help you. So it's obvious when they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," they believed that he was able to heal. Now, their plea has its basis in the mercy of the Lord. And I believe all of our pleas to God, whatever they be, must have their basis, their foundation in God's mercy. In other words, we must realize we deserve nothing at the hands of God. So we simply plead mercy. You notice they did not plead merit. They did not plead personal worth. They simply pleaded the mercy of Christ. I don't believe it's wise for you and I to plead past service or past faithfulness, because if you want to base God's blessings on what you do, you're in bad shape. You're going to be in bad shape. We need to base our requests, "Lord, be merciful unto me. Don't give me what I deserve, but be merciful unto me." And this was the basis of their plea. In verse 14, "And when he saw them," now, he no doubt knew they would be there before he got there. He knew exactly who they were, he being God. But when he saw them, and he think about how he saw them, they were lepers. He saw them in their leprosy. They could not heal themselves. He saw them in their helplessness. As far as man was concerned, there was no hope for them. And he saw them in their hopelessness. He saw them in their deplorable condition. He saw them as individuals that had nothing to offer to him. Now, I believe that is also true when God saves a sinner. The blasphemous theology of God saw the sinner and saw what he would be in the future and therefore saved him, that's blasphemy, that's heresy. He saw us, the Bible teaches us, even while we were sinners. He saw us in our sin. He saw us in our filth. He saw us in our vileness. And he blessed us in spite of. And that was the case with these lepers. He saw them. He saw them in their leprosy. He saw them with absolutely nothing to offer unto him. And notice, again, remember the last leper we looked at, Jesus touched him. And he said, "Be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy was clean. We see here Jesus did not touch these lepers. He did not command the leprosy to depart. He simply said to these lepers, go show thyselves, go show yourselves unto the priests. That was it. Go show yourself to the priests. He prescribed no medicine. That's not, don't misunderstand me, that's not a condemnation of medicine. But Jesus didn't need it. He prescribed no medicine. He prescribed no ritual washing. There was no outward material means used. Again, he did not touch them as he had in the past. He did not speak a word to the leprosy to depart. He simply told them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And by that command, he gave them the assurance that they would be healed. Notice in the book of Leviticus, you keep a mark there in Luke 17, but the book of Leviticus, chapter 14. And the Lord, verse 1, spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest, he has to go out of the camp, and shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. That whole chapter deals with the laws of the leper. But the point is, when a man was cleansed of leprosy, which was very rare, very few cases did someone get over leprosy. But when that did happen, the first thing they were to do was to go to the priest. And the priest would determine if the leprosy was gone. And if the leprosy was gone, then of course these people could be allowed back into society. They could be allowed back into tabernacle worship. So it was the responsibility, it was one of the responsibilities of the priest to inspect the leper. And if the leper was cleansed, he would then lift the banishment of the leper. So he tells them here in Luke 17, verse 14, go show yourselves unto the priest. That gave them the assurance that they would be cleansed. Then notice what else it says. And it came to pass. And again, anything that comes to pass, God has something to do with it. And it came to pass that as they went, as they were on their way to the priest, they were cleansed. Again, Jesus did not touch these lepers. Jesus did not give a command to the leprosy, but they were just as cleansed as the leper that he touched, as the leper that he commanded the leprosy to depart. He did not use the same means, but the results were the same. They were cleansed. They were cleansed. Now, there's only one way of salvation. We know that's through Jesus Christ. No one's going to be saved any other way. But with that being said, we're not all saved under the same circumstances. Different things happened. You don't have to be in a certain set of circumstances. God's not in a box. And we see that all through the miracles. In the healing of the blind, he did not heal all the blind in the same way. In the healing of the deaf, he did not heal them all in the same way. But the fact was, he healed them. And it really didn't matter if Jesus touched them or Jesus spoke to them or whatever. The result was the same. So we read here in verse 14, and it came to pass as they went. And I believe as they went, they believed that they would be healed. And as they're on their way to the priest, we read, and they were cleansed. The leprosy was gone. In other words, the healing was very, very evident. And you look at all the healing miracles of Christ, and they are all very, very evident. And the lesson there is when Jesus saves a soul, it is very, very evident. I don't believe there are any exceptions to that rule. When the Lord saves a soul, it's evident. It's evident to the person who has been saved, and it will be evident to those who are associated with that person. Though they may not know what has happened, they will know something has happened. It was evident. We see when we read in verse 15, and one of them, again, on his way to the priest, saw that he was healed. That is, as he's on his way to the priest, something caused him to look at his arm or his hand, and all the scabs were gone. There was no trace. The leprosy was gone. It had disappeared. And when the man saw that he had been healed, saw that his skin had been restored, saw that all the deformity was gone, and now this man felt no pain, seeing that he had been healed, seeing that a life-changing miracle had taken place, and believe me, if you were a leper, and you got over your leprosy, that was a life-changing event. Because now you could go back home. Now you could worship in the tabernacle once again. It was a life-changing event. And when this leper saw that his leprosy was gone, he realized that a life-changing miracle had taken place. And he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed with what the Lord had done for him. And as you read further, you see that it was very obvious to him that the Lord had done this thing. He was filled with gratitude. He was filled with humility. He could not explain how the Lord cleansed his leprosy. He could not explain how it happened. But he knew this. He once was a leper and he's no longer. And when the Lord saves a sinner, that sinner probably cannot explain exactly what happened. It was years and years later, after the Lord saved me, that through study that I realized what happened that day. What truly happened. The process that took place. But this leper, all he knew at this time was that the Lord had worked a miracle in his life. So we read in verse 15, seeing that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And I believe he spoke louder this time than when we read in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices. And it was a different voice. In verse 13, it was a cry. It was a plea. But now here in verse 15, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. This was not a cry. This was not a plea. This was praise. This was thanksgiving for what God had done. And he approached Christ. And he fell down on his face at his feet, which is the rightful place for you and I. and he gave thanks. And then it is added in verse 16, and he was a Samaritan. And the reason that is added is to magnify the grace of God. Keep in mind the Samaritan. The Jews hated the Samaritans. You see, the Samaritans were half-breeds. The Samaritans were Jews who intermarried with Gentiles. Goes all the way back to the land of Canaan. When the Jews began to intermarry, you remember God told them, you marry your own people. But they didn't obey, and they intermarried with the Gentiles. They were half-breeds, and the Jews hated them. But Jesus saved, or Jesus healed this particular man. He was a Samaritan. Perhaps the other nine were too. We don't know. But we do know this, that this particular man was a Samaritan. He was one that the Lord's people found no use in. And the Lord's people just couldn't stand to be even around Samaritans. They wouldn't go through Samaria. They'd walk all the way around Samaria just so they wouldn't come into contact with a Samaritan. And the Lord took this man whom people thought was worthless, and he worked a miracle of grace in his life. We see these 10 lepers become examples of ingratitude and gratitude. 9 of them are an example of ingratitude. Jesus asked this one leper that returned, he says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And then it's added in verse 18, they were not found that returned to give glory to God. They never did come back. They never did come back and give glory to God. Were they healed? Yes. Did their leprosy ever come back? I doubt it. They were healed. They had been changed. But they never came back and gave glory to God except this one individual. Did not these 9? Did not these 9 recognize that suddenly their pain was gone? Did not these 9 recognize that their skin is suddenly normal? That the sores and the ulcers are gone? Didn't they not recognize that? Of course they did. But they never returned to give thanks. But this one leper, he looked at his skin, and he said, I'm clean. I can go home. I can embrace my family again. For the very first time since this disease has come upon me, I can go home. I can embrace my family. But before he went to embrace his family, he returned to Christ and he gave thanks. I want to say that Jesus Christ was more important to this man than family. He came, and it says that with a loud voice, he glorified God. That is, he praised God, he exalted God, he worshiped God, he revered God. He honored God. He adored him. And he acknowledged and confessed what the Lord had done. 1 out of 10 gave thanks. That shows us, I believe there's a lesson there. The lesson is that most will not thank the Lord. Most people today, even saved people, will sit down and eat their food and never once look up and thank God for their food. God will bless us in so many ways every single day, and a child of God just goes on oblivious to it all, never looking up and thanking God. Very few. In this case, 10%. But we learn much from this one. Again, all of us that have been saved were represented by those 10. A life-changing miracle has taken place in our life. And I hope that we are not represented by the nine who did not even think to give thanks. And there are a lot of people today who do not, it doesn't even cross their mind to thank God. It's amazing. Again, I'm not against thanking people. But I believe you ought to thank God before you thank a person. You ought to thank God. If, you know, people, someone has surgery or many, many things can happen. And, they're all over the surgeon like he's done something fantastic. And I'm not underestimating what he's done. But the first thing you ought to say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And this one leper, he is an example to all of us. And really, I don't know, Bible doesn't say if this was the only time that he gave thanks, but I have a feeling that every day he found some time to just thank God. And every single day we live, we ought to find the time to just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. And you know, some people, they feel so sorry for themselves, they don't believe God's done anything. Well, then you need to just thank God for who he is. Just thank him for who he is. And when was the last time you just thanked God for who he is? Thank you, Lord, for running the world. Thank you, Lord. So we have an example with this one leper that returned to give thanks. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heaven